Okay, so today we're going to discuss one aspect of the Yontif of Sukkos, which is going to help us bridge the experience of yesterday of Yom Kippurim with the holiday of Sukkos, Habolin Latova, please God, this Wednesday night. And this is a very exciting day. You know, we didn't say Tachanun this morning because we're in a celebration. We're in the middle of a celebration. It's enough for everyone. You know, this period between Yom Kippurim and Sukkos, it's a magical time. So much so that on Sukkos we say, "Lekachta melachem b'yom harishon." It's the first day. It's the first day, Chazal say, "Lecheshbon ha'avonos," for the calculation of people's misdeeds. So how does that work? Because everybody assumes that there's no time to do averus between yesterday and Wednesday because everybody's so busy preparing for Sukkos and getting their dalad minim and their stuff so that there's... You know, there's just a focus on learning. So what a better way to start our week, to start our period between Yom Kippur and Sukkos than to start with learning. So I want to begin with an observation that I bet I look around this room and people have probably been saying this for their whole life, for decades. But did we ever stop to think about it for a second? And that is that, let's say on Friday night, we talk about the Sukkah. Every Friday night. Hapores... Sukkah Shalom Aleinu. Did we ever ask ourselves why it is that when we talk about the Sukkah, somehow it's associated with Shalom? What do we say? We say, Ufros Aleinu Sukkas Shlomecha. So why is the Sukkah associated with Shalom? You know, the Sukkah is a beautiful mitzvah. It's an important mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that the person can fulfill with their entire being. They say in the name of the Vilna Gaon, realize this, that there are only two mitzvahs in the world that a person can fulfill totally in an immersive experience. One is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and the other one is sitting in the Sukkah, because your whole being is in the Sukkah.
What about mikvah?
That's a question if that's a mitzvah or a matir. It's a good question about mikvah. Maybe mikvah and Erev Yom Kippurim. That's a good ha'ara. And the other thing you could say is Talmud Torah, as we said. Talmud Torah is an immersive experience. Yeah. But okay. So my question is, and what I'd like to go away from today thinking about is, what does it mean, Sukkah Shalomecha?
Was it anything to do with traveling through the Midbar?
Maybe. Oh, good. So Sai is pointing out, why do we make sukkahs in the first place? Right, the Gemara has two opinions why we make sukkahs. One is because we had Anani HaKavod, and the other is that we had Sukkos Mamish. Both of them commemorate leaving Egypt and traveling to Israel in the desert, and the fact that the Jewish people had the protection of the Ribono Shel, whether that was the physical huts that we made, or was the protective cloud. So what does that have to do with Shalom? And if it's historical, then there's got to be something relevant to our lives. It can't just be that we're remembering the fact that it was a peaceful journey. You know, no kids were crying in the back seat and everything was fine. So that's number one. Number two is the concept of a sukkah hop. Sukkah hop. Some of you are familiar with this? People, kids, they go from one sukkah to the next sukkah and you put out, I don't know if people still do that. And they put out nash, and then the kids come, and then they get into the whole chakira. You make a bracha when you make a sukkah hop. Do you make a new bracha? So it's kedai, you should always be machmer to eat more. Yeah. That's a general rule in life, in Yiddishkeit. If you want to make sure that you're being very pious, eat more. So if you have a whole, if you come to my sukkah, and you have like a whole suda, so then you don't have to worry about a bracha. There's a big debate about this in the Gaonim. Let's say I come to visit you and I sit in your sukkah. Do I recite a bracha just by sitting in the sukkah? And the general practice is no, you have to eat in somebody's sukkah. So then the question becomes, how much do you eat? What do you eat? So the best thing is, if somebody comes to visit you, you should give them a nice meal. Make sure they have a whole bagel that's bigger than a kibbutzah, and then you have a spread. It's really good. That's the best thing. Sukkahs, you're always eating. It's great. So the question is, though, can you... You know, we're used to this. But can you go back to the source and really find out if that is permitted? And the answer is, there's a big debate about this. This comes to an old principle, the concept of sha'ul, of borrowed. Because the truth is, when I invite a guest into my sukkah, I'm really lending them my sukkah. They're borrowing my sukkah. Let's say I go away for Yontif, and somebody else needs a sukkah. They say, can you come? The truth is, we, every year since we've moved to Chicago, the first days of Yontif, we're always, we've always been at my parents in Baltimore. So when we come back, Usually we come back right before Hoshana Rabbah. The Kollel has a beautiful Leil Hoshana Rabbah program. And we usually don't make a sukkah. We've never made a sukkah since we moved here because we have many neighbors on our street. They always say, come, you can sit in my sukkah. But you know that Reb Lezer says that I cannot fulfill my mitzvah of sukkah with somebody else's sukkah. Sukkah she'ula is not kosher. And therefore, there's no such thing as a sukkah hop, according to Reb Lezer. The sukkah has to be yours. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin that a sukkah that's shaul is kosher. You can sit in my sukkah, I can sit in your sukkah. Now, you can't steal somebody's sukkah. And by the way, that's a complicated thing. How do you steal somebody's sukkah? Because we have a principle in halacha that the ground, you can't steal ground. So let's say if you have a sukkah in a pickup truck, then you could steal it. That would be a sukkah gezula. Now that would be somewhat, you know, unusual for the Talmud to talk about. But yes, you have to find out from the Chabatskers.
We have a pop-up sukkah.
Oh, pop-up sukkah. Like then it might be stolen. Okay, yeah.
You have to have permission.
So yes, you have to have permission to use the person's sukkah. Because otherwise it's a shalom midas, that's a question. And this is, by the way, this is a serious thing. It's discussed in Shulchan Aruch. Putting a sukkah on somebody's property that doesn't give you permission. That's a question. You know, let's say if you're a restaurant in a city and you want to put the sukkah on the sidewalk, that's a serious halachic question. Do you need permission from the village? If it's your property, so it's your property. But let's say you're in a metropolitan city that doesn't have, you know, parking lots. So if you don't have a parking lot, can you put your sukkah on the public square? That's a shiloh, because that's using... Do they give you permission for that? You have to ask the village. I don't know. That's a shiloh in halacha about whether or not you're allowed to put a sukkah in Rishus HaRabim, and then in this case, the Rishus HaRabim is owned by the village. You know, I can't just... Let's say I live on Sleeping Bear, which is a quiet residential street. I can't just say, you know, I'm going to cordon off part of my street for a sukkah. That's against the law. I'm not allowed to do that. So... Oh, so what do you do if you're in an apartment building? So usually in the apartment buildings, they have an arrangement where the building says, you can put a sukkah in the courtyard. Everybody can use the courtyard for whatever they want. But that's what, in the city, people have either sukkahs in their park, in their like courtyards, or they put it on the roof. But they get permission from the super. They always ask the super, is it okay if we put it up there? The super says, fine. So the question is, what's the source of this machlokas? So if you look on page 1, the Gemara says, on Chaf Zayin on the base, that the opinion of Reb Lezer is that where the arrow is, you're not Yotzei with somebody else's lulav on the first day of Sukkah, which we know it has to be lachem, it has to belong to you. So too, he says, you can't be Yotzei with somebody else's Sukkah. It's got to be yours. So the Gemara says, how does he know that? Well, it says, how do you know that you have to own your own lulav, your own dalad minim? Because it says, ulakachtem lachem. It has to be yours. Well, guess what? It also says, chag hasukos taseh lecha. It has to be made for you. So Reb Lezer says, well, just like lachem means you have to own your dalad minim, and if you have somebody in your house who didn't buy it their own, you have to make sure that it belongs to them. You have to give it to them with a full heart. You can't just loan it to them. So too, when it comes to a sukkah, you have to give it to them.
He never had company.
Right? Or, you know what he did? If he had company, he said, I'll sit in the sukkah, then I'm going to leave, and I'll makna the sukkah to you. I'll acquire it to you, and you could sit in it. So you can make so when it comes to lulav, you say you do a matana amanas lahachzir. It's very complicated. No, probably not. His wife didn't let him. She says, you know, she says, I don't want to hear your shtickle Torahs, okay? She says, I don't want to get involved in that. Usually that's what happens, at least in my house. I come up with a dray, you know, they don't want to hear our shtickle Torahs. They just want to do what they're supposed to do. That's it. But the chachamim say no, in the underline. The chachamim omrim. And he says there's a distinction. On the first day, you cannot fulfill your mitzvah with somebody else's lulav. You can be yotzei your mitzvah with somebody else's sukkah. Ma pitom, why? He says a special drasha, dichsev. Kol ha'ezrach bi Yisrael yeshvu basukos. All of the resident, and we would translate in the parlance as, all of the residents in Israel should sit in sukkos. Kol ha'ezrach. So what does that mean? Melami, this teaches us, shekol Yisrael ru'uyim leishev besuka achas. All Jews can sit in one sukkah. That's what it says. Kol Yisrael yeshu besuka achas. You have to have a sukkah that all the Jewish people can sit in one gigantic sukkah. So Rashi says, what does that mean? What do you mean? All Jews can sit in one sukkah? You ever see sometimes by the Rebbes, they have enormous, enormous sukkahs. You know, in Yerushalayim or in Williamsburg and Bar Park, they have enormous, enormous sukkahs. But it's barely enough for one chassidus. It's not enough for all of us. So Rashi says, obviously the Gemara does not mean that everybody has to sit in the sukkah at the same time. What does it mean? It means everyone should take turns. We're going to have one sukkah, and everybody's going to come through, and everyone's going to take a turn, and so all Jews can use one sukkah. And Maisa Shahaya Kachaya, you should know, the late, great Dr. Hillel Seidman, you know, the Warsaw Ghetto Chronicler, in the back of the, somebody actually bought me this year as a gift, the original 1950s edition of the Warsaw Ghetto Diaries from Dr. Hillel Seidman, Zichrono Levracha, which itself is an unbelievable story. So in the back of that work, he describes the people that he met in the ghetto. And one of the most incredible, amazing people who was in the ghetto with Dr. Seidman, who he knew personally, was the Gaon, the Chassid Rav Menachem Zemba. Hashem Yikom Damos Rusiyagin Elena. Rav Menachem Zemba, he was known as the Prager Eloi, the genius from Praga. Not Prague. Praga with an A was the small suburb of Warsaw. And he was an orphan as a young man. He was raised by a group of Ger Hasidim. And he was a giant. He was a young man. He became a dayan in Warsaw when his in-laws had a business that failed. So he needed to get a parnasa outside of his family. So he became a dayan. He was an unbelievable giant. He had 10,000 pages of manuscripts of Chidushei Torah in the ghetto. And they were all gone. All gone. His whole commentary on the Rambam and a whole commentary on the Yerushalmi. He was a giant. So Dr. Seidman describes that Rav Menachem Zemba had to move apartments in the ghetto at various periods. Rav Menachem Zemba was killed during the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. He was running from a burning building to another building on Shabbos Chol Hamoed Pesach in 1943, because the outbreak, it started on Erev Pesach, and that Shabbos Chol Hamoed, the Germans, you know, were going from one block to the next, and he was gunned down in the street, and then they buried him Motzoi Shabbos, and then they reinterred him later. Anyway, so Dr. Seidman describes the following. He says that he remembers, he saw with his own eyes, Rav Menachem Zemba, he lived in different apartments, and he says at one point in the fall, Rav Menachem Zemba had an apartment on the top floor in the ghetto. And you know, the ghetto was incredibly cramped. The ghetto was a Jewish community, let's say the size of like a small section of West Rogers Park, a few blocks by a few blocks, you know, it was less than 2 square miles, and there were at the high point 400,000 Jews in the ghetto. So Rav Menachem Zemba was on the top floor. You know what he did, as Dr. Seidman describes? He busted open the roof of the building, and he took the beams, the wood that was used to make a makeshift sukkah. And he describes that hundreds of people filed through the building that they should go into Rav Menachem Zemba's apartment to sit in the sukkah for just a minute. When Chazal wrote the statement, Kol Yisrael ruim leishe besukah achas, could they have ever imagined the kind of godless of these Jews in this kind of circumstance? Oyem v'norah, incredible. Incredible. So what I'm wondering is, what is the message of this drasha? It's a technical, legal derivation. All Jews have to be able to sit in one sukkah. So Rashi says, well, they must have to be able to take turns, and therefore it must be that you can invite company and lend somebody else your sukkah. It doesn't mean that the Gemara is saying that you're going to be machneh, you're going to acquire it to the next person. Isn't it a strange halacha? It's a strange, especially the formulation is very interesting. That tells me something. All Jews have to be able to sit in one sukkah. That's That's my next question. Question number three, maybe it's an obvious question, appears on page 2. This comes from Parshas Mishpatim, but it might be familiar to you from the Kriya of the holidays when we read about the Moadim. And the Torah tells us we should observe what we call Pesach Chag HaMatzos. On the top here, it's Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Tesvav. Es Chag HaMatzos Tishmor. Why? Because it's Chodesh Aviv, because we left Egypt. Tez Zayin, V'chag HaKatzir, and the holiday of Katzir. What's Katzir? Harvesting. So what's the holiday of harvesting? Bikuri Ma'asecha, Ashir Tizra Basode. What holiday is that? Shavuos. And then, V'chag HaAsif, V'tzeis Hashona, B'aspecho Es Ma'asecha Min Asode. What is Chag HaAsif? Rashi says, Hu Chag HaSukos. So why is Sukkot called Chag HaAsif? Why is it called Chag HaAsif? Right, it's the harvest time. I think that's the simple pshat. And that's the true pshat, 100%. And it's thoughtful because if you look, just, I can't help myself, I have to share this part. And we'll get back to the regular programming afterwards, but this is an awesome part. Sometimes in Judaism, Meshech Chachma says an amazing vart about this. Sometimes in Judaism, Hashem tells us to take our life, go with the flow, and celebrate it with Him. And sometimes He tells us to go against the grain. So He says Sukkot is a perfect example, because it's Zman HaAsif. What happens? The person spent a whole summer living outside in the field. He's been harvesting for a couple of months already. July for a lot of the early crop, and then the late summer is going to be, grapes, and then the late summer is going to be apples, and then finally, apple picking is finished. You know, you're going for Chol HaMoed activity with your children or grandchildren. Usually, apple picking is by the end. Depends on the... Cherry picking is done. That's already gone. Grapes are pretty much finished. So now, what do you have? You come home, and you have a huge basket of bounty that you collected from the whole summer. So what do? You just raise it up to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the Dalad Minim. It says you take your life and you celebrate it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the first day of Sukkot. That's going with the flow. That's when Judaism takes your life and channels it up to Hashem. He says, but sometimes Judaism says you actually have to be out of sync with your natural life. Can you imagine a guy who spent 3 months living in a field? All he wants is to take a hot shower and sleep in his bed. That's all he wants. He wants two pillows and a mattress. Not living in a tent somewhere in the dirt that his mother's worrying about him. You want to go home. What does the Torah tell you? Not so fast. You're going to spend another week. Like for us, it's cute. My parents, their sukkah is built like the house is built around the porch. So they only have to put up one canopy. So when I sleep in the sukkah, what's the big deal? You open up the door, you're in the dining room. So you take a mattress, you put it outside in the sukkah, and that's it. It's not such a big sacrifice. And the truth is, growing up, it was like a big chavaya. My brother and I, we used to sleep outside, and it was how many sweatpants did you need, and how many socks, and did the lights go off? It was like a thing. You know, now I'm a little older, so it's not so exciting to have a thing anymore, but all right, it's still okay. It's still not the worst thing. It's not such a big deal. But you take a guy who's been sleeping outdoors. How do we know they slept outdoors? Because what happens when Naomi tells Ruth, go find Boaz? Where is he sleeping? Yeah, he's sleeping in the barn. So the guy slept in the barn for 3 months, the whole summer. Finally comes the fall. It's cooler. He just wants to go inside, take a shower, and go to sleep. And the Rebbe Shlomo says, no, go outside. So sometimes Judaism calls on us to do things that pull us out of our comfort zone, that make us really reflect on our life and challenge us. But I wonder why this is called, not taking away from what Mrs. Shaffel said, it's 100% true, is there a deeper level of why it's called Chag HaAsif? What are we gathering on Sukkot? And one last thing. So question number one is, why does that have to do with Shalom? Why is Sukkot Shalom? Number two, why are we all sitting in one sukkah, one gigantic sukkah? Number three, why is it called Chag HaAsif? And now number four. So I have this sefer at home. It's a very fascinating sefer. It's kind of like a potpourri of oddball Hasidic vorts and scholarly articles and historical tidbits and pictures. It's unbelievably awesome potpourri. It's amazing. It's called Sefer HaMoadim. It was edited in the 1950s by the fellow by the name of Dr. Yom Tov Levinsky. I assume it was probably very popular in its day, and now it's hard to find. It's a fascinating, awesome, eclectic work. Very interesting. It's like an encyclopedic with a very vast range, like poems and Zionist songs and everything in there. Amazing, amazing, amazing work, all in Hebrew. So here you're looking at a page from the Sefer HaMoadim, which he quotes an interesting minhag, which I don't know if anybody has this practice in their life, but I know that there are some people who do this. Let's say when I was growing up, we used to have this practice some years. I don't remember if we did it every year. But if you go down to the bottom of this page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom, which he quotes from a Sefer Chemed Elokim, which I have no idea who wrote that Sefer or what it is. I just know that it was published in Livorno. You see where it says on the bottom, Livorno? I don't know who wrote this Sefer. It's published in Italy. So he tells you, there's a sod of the minog, Yelchu Mechayel Elchoyel. To do what? B'motsoi Yom Kippur. To do what? V'litkoa Yasei Lasuka. Some people do this. On Motzoi Yom Kippur, they go put one piece of schach, or one beam, or one something, to start getting the sukkah ready. We used to do this years ago. I think, I don't know if we did it every year, but we did it a lot. My father would say, just go, we're going to go down. We had a crawl space where we kept the schach. We're just going to bring up the schach. We put up one piece of schach, or something like that. I still remember before we came here, when we were in Fairlawn, Rabbi Yudin, should live and be well. He's a mamish, unbelievable tzaddik. You know, so after Yom Kippur, so I had spoken, I think, before Kol Nidre, and then in the morning, and then at Ne'ilah, and the davening, everything. I was lying on the couch. I was like, mamish, gone. So, of course, a half hour, 45 minutes after I lie down on the couch, completely exhausted, the rabbi calls, God bless him. He says, I just want you to know, you don't have to come, but I just want you to know, I'm going across to the shul. And he meant it, by the way. He just didn't want me to miss out, because he's such a tzaddik, that's what he thinks. I just want you to know, I'm going across to check Lulavim tonight. So if you want to come, you're more than welcome, but don't feel obligated. So I wasn't going to miss that opportunity, but that's, by the way, that's the tzitzkitz of Rabbi Yudin. Rabbi Yudin checked every lulav for every member of the shul. On Motzoi Yom Kippur, when I could hardly move, that's what he was doing, because he was starting to get ready for Sukkot on Motzoi Yom Kippur. So there's this bridge. People, I don't know if anybody did this last night, but there are people who have this minhag. They start to get ready for Sukkot on Motzoi Yom Kippur. And that's why he quotes this minhag, that the first thing they do is get ready for Sukkot, and he quotes a pasuk, Vayashav Esav Bayomahu Ledarko Seira. Esav went back on that day to Seir. What's the Seir? That's the Sawyer, La'azazel of Yom Kippur, the goat. The Seir and the Sawyer is the same word. It's a Hasidish remez from this Italian Sefer. And what did Yaakov do? Where did Yaakov do when Esav went to the Seir? V'Yaakov Nasa Sukkosa. Yaakov went to Sukkos. So Esav went to the Sawyer La'azazel, the Sawyer, the goat that was thrown off the cliff, and Yaakov went to Sukkos. So I don't know exactly what this means. This is some kind of deep Kabbalistic, mystical tradition. But what I do know is that what we're trying to create is the period of time we're in right now is a bridge between Yom Kippur and Sukkos. And what's the significance of that? So maybe the answer to this comes from a beautiful teaching that I heard in the name of Rav Nosson of Nemirov. Who is Rav Nosson of Nemirov? Rav Nosson, the Rebbe Rav Nosson of Breslov, he was born in Nemirov, was the chief disciple of the Rebbe Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman Mibreslov was one of the great Hasidic masters who died at a very young age, very unusual personality. And there has not been a Rebbe to replace Rav Nachman since his death. And just to imagine how long that is to be without a Rebbe, some of you have heard me say this before because it's a great contrast. Rav Nachman, the Rebbe Rav Nachman, he was born, no, the Rebbe Rav Nachman died a year after Abraham Lincoln was born. Imagine if we haven't had a president of the United States since 1811. 1811, I believe, is when the Rebbe Reb Nachman died, and Abraham Lincoln was born in 1810, I think. 1809? Oh, okay. What's that?
I think he died in 1810.
18, okay.
A reading book about it now.
Great, so it's one or the other, good. So it's 1809, 1810, it was one of those.
1782, I think, to 1810.
Bekias, yeah, he was a very young man when he died, the Reb Nachman. So that's how long, you're talking over 200 years, and the Breslov of Hasidus is, that's flying, those guys are rocking in Israel today. There's a lot of rocking going on. Very Leibedic, very interesting group. So the Reb Nachman had a disciple. His chief disciple, his name is Reb Nosson. I don't remember how he died.
I'm sorry, it must have been, he's 38. 38. I think he had some illness.
I don't remember what it was.
He
was buried in Uman, and that's why a lot of people travel to Uman at this time of year. So Reb Nachman had a chief disciple. His right-hand man was the name of Reb Nosson, who was born in Nemirov. Nemirov is another important city now for today. And then he moved to Breslov, where he became Reb Nachman's disciple. And he has a beautiful idea. A beautiful idea. This is the quote. Ikar mitzvah sukkah, the main mitzvah of sukkah, sheyichavein, that the person should have in mind. It's not in the print. I just heard it bal peh. But I wrote it down. Sheyichavein lehikolel be'ahava v'shalom gadol, that a person should have intent to be included with love and great peace im kol Yisrael, with all the Jewish people, ad sheyehe nechshav, so that it should be considered, to the point that it's considered ki'ilu, as if kol Yisrael, all the Jewish people, are yoshvin besukkah achas, are all sitting in one sukkah. So now I understand. With this one idea, we can answer all the questions and have a beautiful appreciation for sukkahs. What was our big avodah on Yom Kippurim? So part of the avodah on Yom Kippurim was repairing the damage that was caused to our relation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the other half of the avodah on Yom Kippur is healing the rift that existed bein Adam l'chaveiro. Right, that's why here in the shul, on the night of Kol Nidre, they make an announcement. And for those who don't daven here in Or Torah, they have it in the Tefillah Zaka, that we have to start Yom Kippur by forgiving other people and hoping that they're going to forgive us. That's the process of Achiratze Eschaveiro. Because the Rambam says that if you don't make it up between people, God can't handle that. He can handle everything else. He can carry a lot on his back, but he can't be mochel on behalf of somebody else. So you know what we do on Yom Kippur? We bring everybody in. What do we start Yom Kippur with? Al das hamakom v'al das hakol, onu matirin lehispalel emo avaryonim. The people who were the outcasts, they can also come and daven with us. So what Yom Kippur does is that it breaks down all of the barriers between people, and we're able to just let go. And that's, by the way, part of why the Ribbono Shel Olam is mochel us, and how he's mochel us, is because he sees we're ready to be mochel other people. We have a long-standing issue with somebody, but we say, you know what, I'm just going to let it go. And by the way, psychologists point out, isn't that part of the reason that Yom Kippurim is such an uplifting time? Doesn't it make us feel good when we're just able to let it go? We just feel good now. And we can start fresh. You know, as much as we were wiped out and exhausted and, you know, fashmated by the end of the whole process, the rigorous process of tshuva, we should wake up this morning, we're like, this is amazing. We really have a fresh start. Terrific. So we let it go. So you know what? Now we can get along with people like we didn't before. So the obvious consequence of Yom Kippur is unity. Is people being able to be together. So now I can understand why this is called the Sukkah Shalom. Because we go from Yom Kippur to a space, literally, to a temporal space where everybody can just be at peace with each other. You know, a lot of times families. They have to work out certain things before Yom Kippurim. So after Yom Kippur, however we were able to work that out, and if we did, we could, we tried, whatever, we just put it behind us. Now we say, let's have sukkahs together. Let's all sit in one sukkah together. So maybe that's why it's called Sukkah Shalom. And maybe that's why it's Kol Yisrael, everybody Kol HaEzrach B'Yisrael Yeshiva Sukkos. Kol Yisrael Ru'uyim Leishiv B'Sukkah Achas. Maybe the Gemara, even though it's talking legally, but it's also talking hashkafically, homiletically. This is the one time where everybody should be able to sit together and eat together. Because in Yom Kippur, we just put everything behind us. So now it's Kol Yisrael Ru'uyim Leishiv B'Sukkah Achas. And maybe this can also address the third question that we asked about Chag HaOsif. Now, this is Al Derech Drash. It's a homiletic approach. Maybe it's a Hasidic approach. So you can take it or leave it. If it's not your cup of tea, don't drink it. But I think there's a lot of truth to this depth. And I never thought about this until this year when I was putting it together. What does it mean, the Asif, the gathering? You know, the last of the tribes, Shevet Dan, they were the last group to travel in the desert. So there is a tradition from the rabbis that they were the ma'asif l'chol ha-machnos. They were the gatherers of all the tribes. You know what that means? Anything that was left behind. So on a simple level, that meant the hashavas aveda. All the kids who left their, you know, the pacifiers that fell out of the strollers, and everybody, all the women who lost their shoes, the one shoe that fell out of the bag because they had to change 10 times in the desert every day, the different pair of shoes, they all fell down. Don't worry, Shevet Dan picked it up. But according to the deep tradition, it wasn't that they were collecting lost shoes, as they were collecting lost souls. Ma'asif l'chol ha-machanos meant the Jews who didn't fit in. They didn't fit in. You know, a guy belonged, technically he was in Shevet Shimon, but he just did not fit in. So he was wandering. He didn't have a place. He didn't have any friends. He didn't have any place to go. Don't worry. Shevet Dan, the Svarim HaKadoshim say, they were ma'asiv l'chol ha-machnos. Nobody should be left behind by the Jewish people. Nobody should feel that, God forbid, they're not part of Klal Yisrael. So Shevet Dan took all these people in, all these wanderers, strange people. You know, there are some times in life you encounter, sometimes, especially you go, if you have the privilege, the great schus, to go Yerushalayim HaKodesh, sometimes people come to the Kotel. They're lost Jews. They're lost souls. It's a terrible rachmanis. It should make us cry inside. So what did Shevet Dan do? What was the avoda of Shevet Dan, which you would say, oh, they're the last guys. They're the schleppers. They had a big avoda. They took in all the lost souls. Because they make sure everybody feels like they have a place. Everybody belongs. So maybe Al Pidrush, that's the pshat in Chag HaOsif. You know what happened in Yom Kippur? We told everybody to come to shul. The prominent people and the nebuch, the people not so prominent, the people who didn't fit in. But you know what? On Yom Kippur, everybody has a place. Anu matirin l'spalo imar avayonim. So come Sukkot, we just realized, you know, I didn't notice that there was this person in our community. Let's make sure he has a place also. It's the time where now all of a sudden, you know, Pesach, we try, we do the best that we can, but we focus primarily, Pesach is focused on family, and of course, you know, the introduction to the Seder is making sure Kol Tich V'Nyech Tzavyecha, we should bring people in. But now, it's a higher level, it's Chag HaOsif. We just made peace with all Jews. So everybody needs to find a place. So it's the time of year where everybody finds somewhere they're welcome. Everybody should be welcome. Kol HaEzrach B'Yisrael Yeshiva Sukkos. And now, we also address, of course, the last question that we asked, which is, what's the bridge between Yom Kippurim and Sukkos? Obviously, we're going from a time of Achdus, when we broke down the barriers between people on Yom Kippurim, and we're expressing that on Sukkos. And who says this in one quick line? The next page, the Helek HaSfas Emes, page number 4. Sukkos Tofresh Samach Beis. Haremez ki ma sheboim el ha'achdus. When we come to unity, with all the different people, the Osif, all the different people coming together, Zochin L'Sukkah, we merit to have a Sukkah. Shehi Bechinas Avas Kalulo Sayach. We know that Sukkot is the time of Tshuva Me'ava. It's love. Yom Kippur is Tshuva Me'ira, and the time of Sukkot is the Tshuva Me'ava. So he says, the Bechin of Avas Kalulo Sayach. Lech Teich Acharai Bamidbar. Go to the desert. That's Avas Kalulo Sayach. That Ava is on Sukkot. The Avas Kalulo Sayach is also the context of building a home. When you send, sometimes you'll see, when you send a wedding invitation, a lot of times you'll write on it, Le Simchas Klulos, you know, this guy and this girl. We invite you to the wedding of this boy and this girl. It's Klulos, it's this Avas Klulosayach, it's the love of building a home together. The Sukkah is the home. It's the home with love, where everybody feels welcome. Even the kids, you know, in a family, Halavai, everybody should be Zoche Lekach. It doesn't always work out 100%, but hopefully, in a family, all children feel welcome. Some kids are more like this, some kids are more like that. But at the end of the day, all kids have to be welcome at their parents' table. We have to do the best that we can to try to make that happen. So, Avas Klul Saif, the Rebbe Shalom is saying, after you guys are all getting together, let's all find one place, one home to build together. I heard once a Torah in the name of the Shalah. I went to look for it, but I didn't find it. Apparently, the Shalah said there's a special Isser to make a machlokas in the Sukkah. Which, by the way, is not so easy when you have Kol Yisrael Yeshu Basukas. When everybody's in one Sukkah, when all the family gets together. Well, then there's the menu questions, and then there's the issue of the height. You know, this one says the sukkah is too high. This one says the sukkah is too low. The schachar dangling, it's too thick. There's a lot of vinyanim that go involved in the sukkah. Everybody's looking. Everybody's checking, you know, the size of the sukkah. There's a blowing. If you have a tarp sukkah, then there's always the question, is it blowing too much? Is it blowing too little? Everyone's pulling up their tape measures. You know, everybody knows you're allowed to measure for a dvar mitzvah on yontif. So you're like measuring it out. But the Shalom HaKadosh says you can't make a machlokas in the sukkah. You want to make a machlokas, gesund to hate. Go outside. Because the whole idea of the sukkah is achdus. It's kol Yisrael yeshu basukas. Kol Ezra Yisrael yeshu basukas. Everybody should sit in one sukkah. Can't we sit in one sukkah for 1 week and just get along? After sukkahs, it's going to be a long winter. Let's just say it's going to be a long winter, because today is a long winter. But right now, we're coming Yom Kippurim. It's the Sod of Achdus. So we should be able to work it out. Rish and Lechesh Bravonis, we should sit 1 week, just sit together with no machlokas. I saw also in the name of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, amazing, amazing vart. It's a drush. It's a drush. But you know that your sukkah, you shouldn't do this lechatchila because it's technically a challenge. But your sukkah theoretically doesn't have to be four walls. Right? In theory, you can have two walls. So let's say you have a wall that goes like this, and then you have another wall that goes like this. Now this wouldn't actually be okay. You would have to actually move this section of the wall over here. You would have a space here, and then, so which is why it's not so recommended, because you have to have a piece here. But theoretically, this and this, if that was moved out a little bit, that would be adequate me'ikar din for a sukkah. And the Gemara has a drasha to tell you that. As I saw in the name of Shlomo Zalman, I don't know if it's true in his name, but even if it's not true, it's a great verse. He says that when you give somebody a hug, when you put your arm around somebody, it's two defanos and a mashu. It's two sides and a little bit. Is that a beautiful vart? So that's what the idea of the sukkah is. That we should find somebody, whether it's a friend or a relative or a chag ha'asif, somebody who doesn't have a place, and make sure they feel kala ezrach v'yisrael yeshiva sukkahs. We should be able to give them a hug. It's like this. It's like the Sfasema says. It's the sod of achdus.
So it should almost be that you should have guests and other people.
100%.
A higher level.
Yes. And you know what? Steve is pointing out, you're mechavin to the mekubalim about the ushpizin. So I saw once in one of the svarim, I forget where I saw it, they said, you know, we say before you enter the meal, You say you invite the holy guests of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. You invite them to your sukkah. But I saw in one of the svarim, they say, yeah, it's very nice to invite theoretical guests. Yeah. Shkoyach. Nice. Exactly. Even those who say you put a chair, you can put a chair. Exactly.
It's a virtual experience.
Mm-hmm. So I saw in one of the svarim, I tried, now I don't remember offhand where I saw it, where they say, you know what? If you don't invite real guests, people who need, then the Ushpizim say this is not a place for guests. You need to make sure Kol Ezrach v'Yisrael Yeshiv Asukos. So it's family members, it's friends, and it's thinking Badafka, of course, of other people. It's the Chag HaAsif. Absolutely. I saw that in the Sefer. They say if you don't bring real guests into your sukkah, people who need a meal, then the Ushpizim say, okay, Shkoyach, you made a meal for the Ushpizim. You know, like, what's the big deal? The real big deal is to try to find somebody to include. But now I wonder if this is all correct. If the idea of the sukkah is that, like Rav Nosson of Nemirov said, is that we should merit the ikar mitzvah shi'chavin lehikol ba'ava v'sholom gadol kol Yisrael, that we should feel loving all Jews together with everybody in peace, and it's all like we're sitting all in one sukkah. Maybe I can understand the minhag that we have growing up, that my parents still have, that I still do, that I wonder if some of the people in this room have. It's a minhag by many Hasidim, but it appears in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see on page 5. the Be'er Heitev, he quotes it from the Shalom HaKadosh. We mentioned it before. The Shalom HaKadosh says the following, She'yena'aneah besuka v'yevorech, Va'achar kach shar hana'anuim yiyu bebeis haknesses. This is in Siman Tov Reish Nun Beis, which is talking about the laws of the sukkah, the laws of the Dalad Minim, and when you make a brach on the Dalad Minim. So the Shalom HaKadosh, and it's quoted here in the Be'er Heitev, in the Shulchan Aruch, says that you should make the bracha and do your na'anuim in the sukkah, and then you make the bracha, then you say halal. I wonder if people, does anybody have this minig? You have this minig. It's a beferish minig in Shulchan Aruch. You see, it's quoted by the Shalom HaKadosh. So that means that you make your bracha on your dalad minim first at home in your sukkah, and then you shake it in the shul, but you don't make a separate bracha, and that's why, by the way, in some places, they actually give you a break. Let's say they have a sukkah in the shul. Some places, they give you a second after HaMavarach HaSam Yisrael Bashalom. Some people will run out, make their bracha in the sukkah on their dalad minim, and then come back in for halal. So what's the pshat now? Well, now we can maybe understand it on a deeper level. Because if the yisod of the sukkah is achdus, is bringing people together, it's unity, well, what is the four species a symbol of? Just ask Mrs. Greenfield. What's that? That's it. And that's the last page, page number 6. This is the Medrash Rabbah that some people are familiar with, Medrash Rabbah and Vayikra here, Parshas Emor. What does it mean? Davar Acher pre-ates Hadar. Eilu Yisrael. These are the Jewish people. What do you mean, pre-ates Hadar? A beautiful fruit of the tree. Ma Esrog. What about an Esrog? Zeh. Yesh bo tam v'yesh bo reach. It has a delicious flavor. Some people make Esrog jelly. It's a citrus fruit. And it has a beautiful smell. Kach Yisrael yesh ben b'nei adam sheyesh ben Torah v'yesh ben ma'asim tovim. There are Jews who have Torah and they have nice amidos. They have good actions. They do the right thing. Kapus tamarim, the date tree, the tamar. Eilu Yisrael, these are also Jews. Ma tamara zo yesh bo tam, the dates, delicious dates. Ve'ein bo reach, but it doesn't smell like anything. Kachem Yisrael yesh bem sheyesh bem Torah. There are Jews who have Torah. They learn. Ve'ein bem ma'asim tovim, but they don't have particular actions that they're not such bali midos. They're not such bali ma'asim tovim. Ve'anaf etz ovos. What is anaf etz ovos? That's the braided branch. That's the hadasim. So that Yisrael ma'adas yesh bo reach. It smells nice. Ve'ein bo tam, but doesn't taste like anything. Kach Yisrael. So there are Jews. Yesh bem bnei adam. There are people. Sheish bem ma'asim tovim. They have good actions. Ve'ein bem Torah. They don't have Torah. Va'ar ve'nachal. And then there are the willows. Elu Yisrael ma'aravazu ein ba tam ve'ein ba reach. It doesn't have neither a delicious taste, nor does it smell fragrant. Kachem Yisrael, so to the Jewish people. Yesh ben b'nei Adam, she'ein ben Torah lo tov l'masim tovim. U'ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'osa lehem. What does God do to them? La'abdon? Should He destroy them? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say on Yom Kippur? Does He want to destroy all the Rishayim? Does He want to take the Avaryanim, Rachman al-Islam, and throw them away? No. No, he can't do that. Ela Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yukshiru Kulam Aguda Achas, let's bring them all together, bring everybody to shul. V'hein mechapren elu al elu. And they're going to atone for each other. Everybody will be together. And notice, it's interesting, v'hein mechapren elu al elu, on the one hand, it means that the righteous people will give an atonement to the non-righteous people, but that's not what it says. Elu al elu could be taken in two different directions. So the Gemara says that if you have a Tanis Tzibur, if you have a fast day, and it doesn't include wicked people, then guess who's not Yotze? The Tzaddikim are not Yotze. Every fast has to have all the Jewish people together, like the Chelbana. That's why the word Tzibur is Rashi Tevos. Tzadi is Tzadik, Beis is Beinoni, and Vav is And, Resh is Rasha. You have to have all Jews together. Even the Avaryanim, they belong in the Jewish community. They belong in our shul on Yom Kippur, and if we just welcome them into the shul, so we're going to welcome them into the four species. And that's what it says. V'masisim kach, if you did that and you brought all Jews together, Osa Shani Misale, God is elevated. Hado dechsiv habone bashamayim aliyosav, ve'emasai musalin misale k'shehin asuyin aguda achas. Shenemar va'agudaso al eretz yisada lefichach Moshe Masli Yisrael ulekachtem lachem bayom arishon. Why bayom arishon? Because it makes perfect sense. Because on Yom Kippur we told all Jews to come to shul. Let's daven together. Let's put all the bygones behind us. Let's break down the barriers between Jews. Let's come together. So now we're all going to sit in the same sukkah together for a week. Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu basukos. And we're going to symbolically join together with the Igud of the Dalet Minim, with the four species. And that's why even though we paskin, technically speaking, you don't need to tie the little, they have that, the kind of koshkalach, the branches that they make to tie them together. Technically speaking, you don't need that. We paskin machlokas in the Gemara, we paskin lulav loboy egid. You don't have to do it. But we do it anyway. Why? Because we want to show that we're going to bring people together. So now I understand thematically, spiritually, why the best place to make your bracha on your Dalet Minim is in your sukkah. Because the sukkah is the bechina, said Reb Nosson, of bringing people together, of Ava, of all Jews coming together. It's the symbol. And so too, that's why we're going to bring together the Dalet Minim. And maybe that's why on sukkahs, there's a special, it can't be that Jews do something, it's a minig Yisrael that doesn't have a makar. That's why people do the sukkah hop, maybe. Isn't that where we started? We started with the sukkah hop, and the kids going from one sukkah to the next sukkah to the next sukkah. So we asked, why do people do that? So on one level, they want to do it because they want to be mechabev the mitzvah of sukkah. But maybe the reason we do this is because of this idea of kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu basukos. That people who, let's say, don't have kids in their sukkah regularly, they open their door, they let the kids in. Usually they're cranky, they don't have candy in their house, they're anti-social. But for this one sukkah, for this one holiday, they're going to open the doors, they're going to open their hearts for the kids. For somebody else's family. For chen, vice versa. Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu basukos. So therefore it's a beautiful minug. I think it's like a minug basically. That people come and they go visit each other on sukkahs. Adaraba, exactly what we started with. Not like Reb Elezer, who, as Mrs. Gottesman pointed out, probably didn't have company in his sukkah on sukkahs. We have the exact opposite hakpada. Our whole point is that we should invite and welcome all Jews into our hearts. And even if we don't have a sukkah, let's say we're traveling, we don't have a sukkah, or we don't have the ability to invite other people, but we should realize this message that on Yom Kippur we finally let go of all of those hang-ups. We broke down the barriers between Jews. So on Sukkot, both in the sitting in the Sukkah and also the symbol of taking the Dalet Minim, we want to make sure that we have that Kavana Lehikolel Ba'ava Gedola with all of Klal Yisrael B'Shalom. That's the Pori Sukkah Shalom that we hope for all year, but we're going to build it now to last the whole year. Yes?
Conceptually, yes. The Lulav is similar to the Sukkah because the Lulav is a sign of Agudah, of unity, as the Sukkah is. But if it weren't for the Pasuk Kol Eshev B'Yisrael, each person would be able to use somebody else's Lulav.
Meaning both of them have...
Both of them have the message of unity.
Yes.
Right? You just read the Medrash now, right?
Yes.
So both of them, a Jew would be able to use somebody else's lulav.
If he didn't have Lulav.
Oh. If it weren't for the Pasuk Kol Eshev B'Yisrael, that makes a distinction between yes. the lulav and the...
Yes, so that as Rabbi Dr. Linzer, our special guest, is pointing out, this may have to do, and I won't belabor this point too long, with the nature of unity. Because he's pointing out, he says, wait a second, if this whole Shtickel Torah is really true, that the Sukkah is about unity, and Kol Ezra B'Yisrael, Yeshiva Sukkah, we should all be in one Sukkah, we should all be together, so why is it that when it comes to the lulav, you only have one lulav, you can't borrow somebody else's lulav? So this may relate to the fact that in the Jewish tradition, unity does not mean uniformity. Meaning, some people think, you know what unity is? If everybody does what I do, then we're going to have achdus. Achdus is my way. If everybody does it like I say it, then it's achdus. That's achdus. That's not achdus. That's my way or the highway. Real achdus is when we say, look, there are 12 different tribes. That means there are 12 different paths to the Rabbonu Shel Olam. I'm going to respect the fact that everybody has a different one. And there are Shivim Panim LaTorah, and there are 600,000 Jews. So perhaps the idea, and we could take this further, maybe I'll be Drush, is that everybody says, look, I have my Lulav, I have my Dalet Minim. That's my identity, that's my personal individuality, and that's Lecha, that can't be shared with anybody else. That's unique to us, to each one of us. So we're not going to blur the lines. It's not like communism where you say the individual is nothing. No, the individual is a star. Avraham Avinu was told that his descendants are going to be like stars. But he was also told that his descendants are going to be like sand. So the sand means that we're all just one big beachhead. You can't really distinguish one from the other. But the stars means we're all individual. So mitzad the sukkah, we say we have to be unified. Kol ha'ezach b'Yisrael yeshva sukkahs, we have to be able to sit in one sukkah together. But that doesn't mean that we blur the identity of the different people. No, everybody has their own identity in the mitzvah of lulav. And probably true even in the mitzvah of sukkah. Your sukkah looks a little different than the next person's sukkah, and your kavana when you sit in the sukkah. But the premise is that we should make sure to be able to build that ava coming off of Yom Kippur. Yes?
Is that Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah?
Rabbi Eliezer.
Rabbi Eliezer. Hagadol. No, it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking... Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah was the one who was put in Cherem?
No, that was this Rabbi Eliezer.
Oh,
this
is so isn't that interesting? Okay,
yes.
That he was like a kind of an action. You know, he was, no, it's me,
right.
It's what I say, I don't care what anybody else says.
He was also,
isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. That was his opinion. It happens to be that because he was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, he was an outlier in many areas.
For that reason too, but that's one reason.
Kind of he's an outlier.
Shmuti, but
yeah.
Also he was like, it's my way or the highway.
Interesting.
And he brought all the
truth. Okay.
And then, you know.
It's good,
I'll
be drash. Yeah.
And then, you know.
That he was making sukkahs for himself.
He's the one.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's making sukkahs for himself. All right. A good yontif, everyone. Yeah, shikoach.